to discuss is what's the reason for the difference in mindset? And then can we as individuals do more to exhibit the US mindset more often? Because I think there's a mixture of things here, and it's like nature versus nurture kind of thing. Are you born with it, or does the culture dictate which mindset you have? Some research done by Barclays Bank, and that showed that approximately 63% of UK adults were afraid of starting a business, with 43% citing the fear of failure as the reason for that. And the reluctance of UK entrepreneurs to take risks can be seen in the relatively low numbers of new businesses registered in the country compared to the US. Welcome to the Hands-On Business Podcast. Where else are you going to come to get tips, tricks, and advice on growing your business? Now, as you know, what people really tend to love about this podcast is that it is a place where you can hear real business leaders discussing systems, methodologies, and strategies that they've actually used to help them catapult growth in their own businesses. So I'm your podcast host, Hakeem Adebiyi, and I've grown several small businesses to multi-million pound enterprises, and I noticed that there wasn't really a place focused on where I was, i.e. growing a small business. All of the content that seemed to be out there was about big business and often just lots of theory and no practical, implementable advice, which is exactly why I set up this podcast. And today is going to be one of my Business Bites sessions, which is, as you probably already know, me musing on a specific topic for business that has piqued my interest. So really excited to have you here. Happy listening. Welcome to the latest episode of Business Bite. And today we're going to be talking about mindset over matter, because I've always believed that the mindset, or one's mindset, is one of the key attributes that determines how successful you become in any walk of life. And business is absolutely no different. You know, I've seen that mindset is often shaped by the way that you see failure. And hence, I've recently started speaking to a lot of business leaders about the way failure is perceived in business. And I decided to delve a bit deeper into the importance of mindset. And then the two prevailing mindsets that started to become apparent during my research are often described as the growth mindset and the fixed mindset. However, I decided that it's actually more like a growth mindset and a regressive mindset. And there's two positions, I think, standard there. And a fixed mindset is almost something in the middle of those two. And for the purposes of this podcast, I'm going to categorize the mindset as the US mindset and the UK mindset. Because on my many, many visits to the US, I've noticed that the way they view and the way businesses over there view business and entrepreneurship is very different than what we do here in the UK. Now, obviously, I'm generalizing here because not every business in the US has the same mindset, nor those in the UK, but I think it worked for the purposes of this discussion. And remember, my hypothesis is that the way you react to failure affects your mindset, and the mindset determines your success. So let's talk about the US mindset and how to define it, because that actually seems one where people wear failure as a badge of honor. They seem to see it as proof that they took risks and tried something new, while growing up in Britain can involve being taught that failure is shameful or embarrassing. And I think you've seen it before. So let me see if I can find some examples to back this up. Have you ever heard of Uber or Airbnb? The success of these American tech startups is often attributed to the willingness of their founders to take risks and challenges and challenge traditional business models. And those entrepreneurs are celebrated for their move fast and break things approach that prioritizes experimentation and trial and error over simply sticking with the status quo. And Elon Musk, whether you love him or you hate him, once stated that failure is an option here. And if things are not failing, you are not innovating enough. Now, this, I believe, is reflective of the US mindset and the approach to entrepreneurship. And surprise, surprise, these companies have been uber successful, if you pardon the pun. So now let's move to the UK mindset. Nick Leslau, you may have heard of him, he's a prominent UK real estate investor. And he described that after his companies went bankrupt in 1992, he and his team felt ostracized and struggled to secure any funding for future ventures. So therefore, it wouldn't be a surprise that if you're in that situation, you're not going to be in the right headspace to continue to build successful businesses. So that's just a couple of examples. So what I want to discuss is what's the reason for the difference in mindset? And then can we as individuals do more to exhibit the US mindset more often? Because I think there's a mixture of things here, and it's like nature versus nurture kind of thing. Are you born with it, or does the culture dictate which mindset you have? And in overview, we could say that culturally, the US tends to be more, have a more optimistic and risk-taking outlook, where failure is seen as a natural part of the business process and often a stepping stone to bigger success. And in contrast, the UK traditionally has been more conservative, and the notion of failure and bankruptcy is often associated with shame and social disgrace. And, you know, and there's some research done by Barclays Bank, and that showed that approximately 63% of UK adults were afraid of starting a business, with 43% citing the fear of failure as the reason for that. And the reluctance of UK entrepreneurs to take risks can be seen in the relatively low numbers of new businesses registered in the country compared to the US. Because in the UHY Hacker Young study, it showed that US outpaced the UK by 10% in year-on-year growth of new businesses. So I think that starts to give you evidence that there is a difference between the UK and the US. However, I want to take a bit of a deeper dive, because my research would suggest there are probably three key things that lead to this effect. So the first one is the immigrant and the class effect. Yeah, I've said it, immigration, I know it's topical everywhere and no one has to speak about it. However, the US actually is an immigrant nation by its very nature, isn't it? And it's well lauded for taking the brightest and the best from all around the world. And it's done that for centuries, in actual fact. And the United States, as a relatively young and diverse nation, has a narrative, doesn't it, really, of progress, expansion, innovation, and that often inspires a sense of possibility, adventure, taking risks, and optimism. It takes a certain kind of person, really, if you think about it, to upstick from a home country and then try and make it in one of the biggest economies in the world, you know, because you just wouldn't survive, never mind thrive, if you didn't have the US mentality of try, fail, and then try again. Now, if you then contrast that to the class system in the UK, now, the class system isn't as strong as it used to be in the past, but it's a rigid system where you know your place and you do specific roles. And surely that can't be good for that freewheeling entrepreneurial bent that we see in the US. It just can't be, can it? And then if we move on to number two, then the legal effect. You know, legally, the differing bankruptcy laws in the two countries have probably also played a part in terms of the fact that in the US, it offers more generous bankruptcy protection to aid those looking to restructure a failed business under the Chapter 11 of Bankruptcy Code. And the UK's regulations tend to make it a bit more difficult and costly to do the same thing. And that then places a greater emphasis on liquidation, with more stringent regulations to govern business practices. So this probably, I would suggest, contributes to a more risk-averse culture in the UK. And I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of the bankruptcy laws, because number one, I'm not a qualified accountant. That's my dad's job. But mainly, number two, because I don't want anyone to just nod off because it's not particularly interesting. It's a much better environment in the US. So it's interesting to ponder, really, is it the legal framework that drives the mindset, or is it the different mindsets that drive the legal frameworks in those countries? So for me, I'm saying the immigrant effect is kind of nature, because only the people with the positive attitude are going to become immigrants. And the legal effect is kind of nurture. So that brings me on to the third element, which is really the power of positive thinking, which is basically a mixture of cultural slash nature. Because the US mindset appears to me to be based on the cultural emphasis that Americans have on positive thinking, on self-improvement, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, Americans are really encouraged to believe in themselves and their ability to achieve their goals, regardless of their background or any limitations that they may have naturally. You know, this is the very essence of the American dream, isn't it, really? And this mindset is reflected in various self-help books, motivational speakers, talk shows, and you all know that the popular media celebrates success, resilience, and personal growth. You've seen all the stories. Now, in contrast, British culture, although changing, has traditionally valued modesty, humility, and skepticism, and often regarding excessive confidence or optimism, you know, i.e. the US mindset, as delusional or arrogant. And this cultural trait for us Brits often manifests itself in different ways, i.e. fear of disappointment being one of the main ones, and hence not trying something new or innovative. As I said, I think these are cultural things, so you can develop them. So here's a few steps for you. So number one, practice self-awareness. The first step towards cultivating a positive mindset is to become aware of your thoughts and emotions, monitor your internal dialogue and identify any negative or self-limiting beliefs. Because if you recognize these patterns, you can then challenge and reframe them into more positive and empowering thoughts. Gratitude, number two, you know, gratitude and positive affirmations, you know, incorporating gratitude into your daily routine can really shift your focus towards the positive aspects of your life. So take a few moments every single day and start to reflect upon what you're grateful for and express appreciation. Additionally, try using positive affirmations to replace negative self-talk. Now, I know all the Brits at the moment will be curling their noses up and think, oh my God, what's he talking about? Positive affirmations, gratitude. The fact that I know there'll be lots of Brits thinking, oh God, positive affirmations, is basically proving the point of what I'm saying, really. You know, but what I would say is just try it and see what happens. And then the third tip I'd give is, and this is probably one of the most important, surround yourself with positivity. Surrounding yourself with positive influences and people who have failed and succeeded and just kept going can greatly impact your mindset. You know, seek out supportive and uplifting individuals who share similar goals and values to what you do, and engage in activities that bring you joy, that you enjoy, obviously, and inspire you. Limit exposure to negativity, whether that be negative news, toxic relationships, and more specifically in this day and age with social media, make sure you avoid self-comparison. Stop looking at the internet and looking at people's lives and thinking, oh, well, I need to do that. Forget about that. And as I said, focus on positive reflections, what you've done, what you're capable of, and surround yourself with positive people. You know, focus on consuming uplifting content. You know, read motivational books or listen to podcasts that promote personal growth, business growth, and positivity like this one. Now, I specifically define these as mindsets, the US mindset, the UK mindset. But as in all generalizations, they don't apply to everyone. So there are obviously people in the US with a UK mindset and vice versa. Plus, a mindset is flexible and it can be changed. It's not set in stone just because you're born in one country or the other. I hope you understand that. The key really is to acknowledge what mindset you have, then know that you can change that mindset, and know that having the US mindset is much more likely, as Claire Walton said in one of my previous podcasts, to lead you to being a better leader, to being a better coach, and manage more successful businesses. So in conclusion, I could be very, very balanced, as everyone wants to be, and say there are pros and the cons of both approach, but I resoundingly come down on the side of the US mindset, because the US mindset proclaims the idea that a failure is an opportunity to take risks and challenge ourselves to come out stronger as a result. And I think that's important. And on the other hand, the UK mindset tends to be more cynical, with failure regarded as shameful, to be avoided at all costs. And this often heightens the sense of apprehension in entrepreneurs. And if you're heightening the sense of apprehension, you're effectively limiting business adventure, which then prevents you from getting to that real nirvana and that real success. So it may well be born out of cultural and legal context, but there is no reason why everyone can't have the US mindset. And hopefully you've picked up a couple of tips on how to start to develop that different and that winning mindset. Now, I believe that that mindset drives innovation, it drives learning, it drives growth, and most importantly, it has led to some of the biggest and most innovative businesses in the world. And if you want to pick up the show notes, head over to the salesaccelerationformula.com/podcast-show-notes, and you'll be able to subscribe to our mailing list and get show notes for every single episode. And as always, subscribe, like, and share with your friends, colleagues, and anyone else who you think may be interested. But most of all, keep the feedback coming so that we can continue to improve and give you more of what you like. Hope you enjoyed this as much as I did, and as I always do, keep listening and keep growing.